This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Hello, Susie Rong.
There's so many rich people in this week's TV program. It made me think about money. And I want to ask you, do we have a good relationship with money?
Susie, you just cut out. Can you say that question again?
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a good relationship with money?
What do you mean by good relationship? Do I?
You go.
Do I have a good relationship with money? I respect the value of money. Do I have a good relationship with it? I don't know. That's a hard
one. Is it something on your mind a lot?
I mean, always, definitely. I'm not someone who just chases money, and that's my whole driver in life. But I was a very sick teenager, unwell, and money. And then I graduated from university, and I had this big drive to work hard and make money because I thought I wasn't going to see 30 years old. And it drove me. So money became a security thing. I thought, you know, if I go, someone's got to look after my parents and there'll be no one there to do it. So my relationship with money's been complicated. It's been there for different reasons. And so I've worked hard.
Do you think it's changed since then?
I think so. But it's taken a lot to adjust the relationship with money, and now realize that, okay, you know what, you can enjoy life, you've got to be frugal, you've got to still make money, but money was always a stress because it was out of desperation that I needed to earn money, was my relationship. What about you?
10 years ago, someone asked me what my greatest fear in life was, and it took me maybe 5 seconds to realize that I'm really terrified of becoming poor. And I had experienced some level of poverty in my childhood in the 70s in Singapore, where there wasn't a lot of money in general.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I didn't realize that about me. Like, it's not a realistic fear that I would somehow catapult back to that kind of life. But it's somehow in my very foundations a little bit. So since then, I've been very careful about how I feel.
Yeah. Susie, for some reason, it's cutting out a little bit today. Do you think there's...
I love watching shows like that with lots of, you know, they call it wealth porn these days, and I enjoy that. And I guess I question it. I question, like, oh, do I put too much emphasis on appearance, you know, in this case with all these very glamorous, very wealthy women? Yeah.
Susie, we were talking about relationships with money. It always happens. We lose connection when we're having a really good conversation. And I was going to ask you about what it was like in Singapore after you mentioned that you had, you know, this fear of losing money, and what the culture is like growing up in Singapore in terms of the pressures of making money and how you're viewed if you don't make that money compared to what it's like here.
I think there's certainly a lot less of an emphasis on how much money a person makes, or at least there are other virtues that you can pursue here. It's a bit harder in Singapore for some reason. I'm sure it's partly cultural. And, you know, like, people in Singapore, our ancestors moved there because of famine and, you know, very severe poverty in my case in China. So I think we carry with us a lot of that baggage of having to do well financially. And because in the 70s, Singapore was still yet to be developed, I experienced that in my childhood of living in conditions that were, you know, you wouldn't know as a child, but really looking back, a lot of it was less than ideal. And somewhere in the back recesses of my mind, I still kind of worry about having to go return to those conditions. And so as a grown-up now, I'm a little bit kind of aware, and kind of I pay attention to when I'm being a little bit overboard with how much I worry about money, how much I think about money, how much emphasis I place on money. And when I watch a show like The Hunting Wives and I admire the very wealthy women's lifestyle, I love watching, you know, them swan around in beautiful properties, in beautiful clothes. And, you know, I almost have to check myself and think that, oh, you know, that's all very surface stuff. And it's something that that should, you know, that's nice for me to have fantasies about, but not a real kind of a way to think about one's own values.
Susie, do you think there's also merit in the worrying about money because of being part of the queer community? I mean, a lot of us don't necessarily have big families and kids. A lot of us are on our own. And as much as I wanted to earn money and save money so that if I wasn't here, my parents could afford support and aged care, do you think that now it's sort of almost reversed? And because if we have money, if we save money, we'll be able to afford, as we get older, to pay someone to look after us if there's no one there? Do you think that plays a part?
It's complicated. Last year when I bought my apartment, I was very keenly aware of myself being in the market competing against other buyers who were almost all double income. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a real disadvantage there that I felt last year in that process. And also, not all queer people, but a lot of queer people don't have very good relationships with their family, especially from our generation. And we do lose out on family support on that level. And I feel like the last 20 or so years of me kind of establishing my life here, I do feel like I miss out on a lot of support that most people do have. Not to say that, you know, people don't make their own lives, you know, on their own. But I feel like I could have gone further. Things would have been easier if I had some security with family backing. And you know, my father is very comfortable, so it would have been nice to get some support there.
Susie, this week we watched The Hunting Wives, which you can stream now. Give us your review.
Sophie's husband gets a new job working for an oil tycoon. So they move out of the big smokes to a small town in East Texas, where Sophie finds herself trying to find her feet in an affluent but disturbingly conservative Republican town. She meets the tycoon's wife, Margot, at a guns rights party, and things quickly go off the rails. In the new series, The Hunting Wives on Stan, we soon discover that the wealthy Texan couple are swingers who enjoy an adventurous, spicy sex life. But because Margot's husband intends to run for governor, their secrets are going to become harder to keep. Instead of curbing their adulterous activities, Margot cannot help but ramp things up when she meets new girl Sophie, who she finds to be very attractive indeed. As it turns out, Sophie too feels the same, and the two bisexual women embark inevitably on a clandestine affair. Margot's life, however, is much more complicated than anybody can imagine, and one thing leads to another, and a young woman in town is found murdered, and Sophie finds herself framed for the crime. The Hunting Wives might seem to bear all the trappings of a pulpy, trashy TV show, but it is also daring and refreshing, allowing us to look into underground queer life in conservative America while it interrogates the ugly hypocrisy of right-wing MAGA culture. The series is extremely well-directed and wonderfully performed. Sophie is played by Brittany Snow and Margot by Marlene Ackerman, both brilliant at getting us hooked from the very start to these women's exciting stories. The Hunting Wives is a combination of genres that I love. It shows rich people having a terrible time and women behaving badly while having a lot of sex. What's not to like? The murder mystery aspect of the show further keeps us engaged, taking us deeper into the lives of characters in this Christian town, like some kind of updated Twin Peaks for the Trump era. I watched all 8 episodes in quick succession and just had the best time. It is so entertaining. Warren, have you got to the pegging bit yet?
No. I haven't got to that yet, but I will. I'm just waiting for a load of washing, but I will get to that. I'm going to watch it all. I really enjoyed watching it, Susie. It's
I'm glad.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think these women, I mean, they go to church in the morning. What a love. As then they drink, they cheat, they lie, and maybe kill by night. And it just shows, I suppose, that hypocrisy of good Christian women. And, you know, I like seeing that play out, because I feel like, you know, we've spoken about this before, is it's a bit of a jab at how privilege lets certain people sin without consequence, while others are punished for just being who they are. And it's ironic that this TV show, The Hunting Wives, is set in the US, where certain people can do what they want without consequences, and then others are punished for who they simply are. Susie, what do you think?
I'm glad you're enjoying exactly what I enjoyed about the show. You know, some of it feels like quite trashy TV, but there's so much that's so important to understand that's guiding the action. I really love that they are, you know, in the daytime, church ladies constantly judging one another, and then we see them getting to know good all the time. It's entertaining, it's funny, it's sexy, and it kind of changes pace quite a lot. It keeps you guessing. It was a real surprise. It's not a show that has a lot of press. And I found out about this quite by accident, and I thought, oh, I'll check it out in case it's good. And turns out to be one of the best things I've seen this year, I think.
I agree with you. And I suppose also there's something about respectable people in public, and I use respectable in inverted quotes, who say certain things and live a certain way, and they live another way in private. And what does it say about us as society? We, you know, in order to be public, you have to be a certain person, but you can't be yourself.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it there's nothing to judge. Like, they're just having really adventurous sex lives. It's not that they're doing really terrible things until at some point in the drama something terrible happens. You know, since the Me Too movement, I've questioned the concept of power, right? And what power means. And you know, it's so simple. But we always forget that. Power is almost like permission to get away with stuff. You know, the more power you have, the more liberty you have. And to the extent where you can hide things simply because you're powerful. And in this program, and with what's happening with MAGA culture in America, you know, where people are unlawfully, you know, snatched off the streets, for example, that's power, isn't it? And we all invest in this system. We all have learned to respect power. And in this show, you know, the rich and powerful can pretty much do what they want. And they know the kind of game they're playing, so they abide by some of the rules. But they do get away with so much.
Absolutely. And it's all, I suppose there's also small town pressure, isn't there, as well? Like, you know, they've got communities around them as well, but they get up to so much. Look, I really enjoyed it, Susie. The show is called The Hunting Wives. What are we watching next week?
Next week, we're checking out a listener's recommendation on Netflix, a Japanese series, Love is a Poison, about a lawyer and a con man. Looks to be a quirky love story for when I see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.